thousands of decisions every day. Some are big decisions like moving to another state or taking out a loan or even a bigger decision, maybe co-signing for a loan. And then there's a lot of other decisions that are smaller, what we'll eat, what we'll wear. Maybe sometimes what we'll wear is a big decision depending on the situation or the person, but we make all these decisions. And you know, when we make decisions, at the time, almost all of our decisions seem reasonable. People don't go about making dumb decisions for the sake of making dumb decisions. They all seem reasonable at the time. I remember my wife and I, we'd just been married a year, and I decided, okay, I've just been married a year, so I'm figuring things out as a husband. I decided that I would go back and get my master's degree, which meant moving to another state. I'd figured out how to pay for our living expenses and school. And so as we're getting ready to go to bed at night, we're ready to go to sleep, I tell all of this to my wife. And I fall asleep like guys do. And she can't sleep the rest of the night. The decision was actually a good decision in the long run. It just it wasn't very reasonable to announce that, to decide to announce that at that time in that way. So we're doing this series called Decision. And what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to try to figure out how to know what God wants for us, how to know His will, how to know how God wants to intersect with our decision making. How do we know His will? How do we make wise decisions? How do we make right decisions? And let me illustrate it with a little game. And I'm going to choose a volunteer, and I see a guy right here. Alex, come on up here. Come on up, Alex. Don't hesitate. He's going, who, me? Come on up, Alex. Come on back here. You're going, why me? Come on. Some questions we just don't ask. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. There's three boxes there, obviously.
Okay.
And under one of those boxes is a $50 bill. That's why I chose you. I figured you need 50 bucks. So the other two, nothing. So you want to pick the right box, because otherwise it's nada, nichivo, nothing, zilch. Okay. So when you don't be too quick here. So look at those three boxes. They're all different colors. That one's kind of ratty. How are you going to decide which box you're going to choose? You could choose by color. You could just do random and go for luck. Or maybe how you feel. God, I don't have any feelings, okay? Maybe you want to pray about it. Okay, well, yeah, maybe not. Okay, so do you know which box you're going to pick?
I think I do.
Okay, are you ready? Let's do a countdown. 3, 2, 1. Pick. Nice. Well done. This is yours, my friend. Thank you. Thank you so much. Way to go, Alex. I know that these students need all the help they can get. So, okay, so this is, in a sense, a picture of life. No game like or analogy ever works out perfectly. But the point is that we come to these situations where we have to make a decision. And on what basis do we make decisions? And sometimes we just do it randomly. Sometimes we go by how we feel. And sometimes decisions we make have a consequence. Like in this case, a good consequence if he chooses the right one. And there's a reward. There's a payoff. And some of the decisions we make, that's in fact the case. Other decisions are inconsequential, really. There's really no real result. And then some decisions have really significant consequences that can affect us, can hurt those that we love. And so we've got to understand this whole process of decision making. Now, let me use an example of how this gets challenging for us. Let's say you meet somebody and you fall in love, And you both are following Jesus, and you get to know each other. The feelings keep intensifying. And so then you come to this question. You're going to have to make a decision. Should I marry this person? Should I ask this person to marry me? If I'm asked, should I say yes? We begin to wrestle with that really significant decision. Is marrying this person God's will? How will I know? And so we pray, God, is this the right one? And we pray earnestly, and we're sincere about this. How are we going to know the answer? How will we know if this person's the right one or not? Are we going to go by our feelings? Well, the feelings are already there. They're already strong. They're already developing. They're already happening. So they may not be the most reliable help to know if that's the way to make the right decision. What if, as we think about it, what if God has chosen somebody else for me? How am I going to know if this person's the right one or not? Or maybe God doesn't choose the person for me. He just gives me the freedom and responsibility to choose wisely, and then I got to make the best of it, the best I can. How do we know? Or maybe you've had an interest in missions for a number of years. You've had such an interest that you've been doing some training and some preparation. You've gotten yourself out of debt, so if that day comes when you can go internationally, you'll be able to go without debt. And you've been really attentive to the humanitarian crisis that's going on in Somalia. Rampant famine, a huge number of refugees, all of that largely because of the violence. It's a dangerous place. And you've been thinking about that. And you wonder, is it God's will for me to go to a place like Somalia? And of course, you pray, how will you know? How will you know whether you should go there or God wants you to stay here and use you here? How will you decide? See, as we grow spiritually, meaning as we get to know Jesus better, as we get to know God's word better, as we continue to allow God to influence our life, the more we grow spiritually, the more that we really want to do what God wants. Because we trust God and we know that what He wants for us is always going to be ultimately what's best for us. We want to honor God with our decisions. And we know that as we honor God with our decisions, that then because He wants the best for us, that's going to be the best for us. And absolutely, we don't want to go against God's will. Because we can suffer some consequences that we don't need to suffer if we go against God's will. So we've got to get this right. How will we know God's will? And so this is the challenge of our series. And here's some of the questions that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Has God already determined certain choices for us? Has God already made certain decisions for our life, like who we should marry or if we should have kids, or if we should adopt, where we should live, what kind of career, what kind of school we should go to or we should send our kids to, or all those kinds of, what kind of friendships should we invest in? And if so, how do we know that He's already made some of those decisions for us and to get it right? Or does God give us guidelines, principles? And with those guidelines and principles, does He also then give us the freedom and responsibility to try to make wise choices and decisions? So here's what I want to start. I want to start with just the most basic concept, and we're going to build on this over the next few weeks. And this most basic concept is simply this: God does want to guide us. He clearly wants to guide us. So I want to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Turn on your device. The Bible's in the seats in front of you. It's page 297. Page 297, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Some of you have heard these verses before. Some of you have even memorized them. They're so helpful and so good. Look at what we find here. Proverbs 3, starting at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. We want to lean on God because we trust him. We don't want to trust our own understanding of circumstances in life because we're always flawed to some degree. We want to lean on him and trust him. And when we do that, when we truly seek him, then he will help make our paths straight, meaning the right decisions, the best decisions, the wise decisions. And God wants to guide us. So then we ask the question, how does God guide us? And what I want to do now is I want us to look at another passage of scripture that begins to help us understand the principles of how God wants to help us make wise, good decisions. So I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, it's page 550 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. Ephesians chapter 5, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to summarize the first 14 verses of that chapter, and then we're going to get to these core really valuable verses that give us some incredible insight. But all of this comes together. So Ephesians chapter 5, it begins with that chapter begins with this. Verse 1 says, imitate God. In other words, follow the example of God. And specifically, and what happens here in those first couple verses of Ephesians 5 is that the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, he's saying, here's what you should do. This is God's will. This is what you do. Follow the example of God, and specifically, love like God. Love like Jesus has loved us. Love sacrificially. That's the positive. So God's will is that he wants us to follow the example of God and specifically to love people like Jesus does. And then what he does is he turns to the negative side. This is what we shouldn't do. And starting at about verse 4, he says, look, there should not be any hint among you of sexual immorality. In fact, of any immorality at all. That there should be no things that are sexually wrong in terms of like pornography or having sex outside of marriage. None of that should be a part of who you are and what you do. And it goes beyond just the issue of sexuality. It means it goes to the whole place of truly being moral people. Don't be immoral people, meaning don't be selfish. Don't be greedy. It's not all about you. That there's a danger in that. He talks about how we use our words. He says, look, don't use words that tear other people down. Our words are supposed to be for a different purpose. God doesn't want us to use our words to tear other people down. And so he says all of these things. He says, look, this is not God's will. Don't do these things. These things are really clear. These are the black and white things. There's no guessing about what God's will is in this. But then we still come to this question. That leads us all the way through the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 5. But what about all those other areas that God hasn't specifically addressed? We make decisions all the time that aren't clearly stated in the scripture. And what do we do with that? Well, Paul doesn't ignore that either. Look what he says in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. He says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So the first thing we notice right here is that we can't understand the Lord's will. He says, don't be foolish. Understand the Lord's will. God's will isn't something that's just totally mysterious. Nobody can understand. You can't find it. It's not a guessing game. It's we can know God's will. So that helps us right now to know that this isn't some big mystery. And then Paul begins to give us the instructions about how to be wise, how to make great good decisions. And what he says is be very careful how you live. When Paul wrote the word, this gets translated, be very careful. It literally is the word that says that you look around carefully. You are very observant of what's going on in you, around you, in your life. You really take time to really investigate what's going on. This isn't something that's casual. Decision making, if we're going to be wise, isn't something that's just flippant or casual. We really give attention to it. And what he's saying is that we're foolish or we make unwise decisions when we make those quick decisions. And what he's urging us to do is to slow down. Slow down. Look around. Don't be in a hurry to make a decision if you want to make a wise decision. And here's why that's so important. He tells us, because the days are evil. All around us is evil. Our culture, the influences that continually bombard us oftentimes are motivated ultimately by an evil source, the evil one. And remember the purpose of the evil one. The scripture is very clear on this. His purpose, and he does this through our culture, is he wants to damage us. He wants to destroy us personally, our relationships, our family, our future. And so we've got to be very wise, because if we just make decisions based on the way the world around us makes decisions, we can put ourselves in serious danger. For example, the ways of the world aren't always wise when it comes to finances. I mean constantly. There are people trying to sell us something, and they're going to give us easy, low monthly payments. You know, you want this? You can have it. And you go, I can afford that. That's a low monthly payment. We don't take the time to calculate what it'll ultimately cost us. In fact, have you noticed more and more that people don't even tell you what the final cost is? They just tell you what the monthly payment is. And so you do that once, and you do that again, you do that again, you do that again, you use your credit cards, you know, and all of a sudden you find yourself in trouble. All of those easily monthly payments are now a burden, because now you can't pay it off. And what happens is that now you begin to have anxiety, and you begin to making some bad decisions because of the bad decisions, and that those bad financial decisions begin to take a toll. And not only do they take a toll, but then it also limits our ability to be generous. And we are now controlled and consumed by all that stuff that we've bought. That's not God's will for us. Maybe the world's will, but it's not God's will. Or think about what else the Apostle Paul addressed. If we go by the wisdom of the sexual standards of our culture, it's going to lead us to a place where we don't want to be at all. Sex outside of marriage. Yeah, it's legal and it's very common. But that wasn't God's will and design, and there's a reason for that. Not just because God's a killjoy. God knows that sex is best experienced. It's best received and given in the context of commitment, the commitment of marriage. And that's really what protects the sexual experience. And sex outside of marriage can leave us frustrated. It can tempt us with sexuality being selfish, just something that I'm going to receive. Of course, God designed sex for our own pleasure, but he also designed it for as a tool, as a gift that we can give to our spouse. And then there are other forms of sexual immorality that become prevalent. Pornography, where when we engage in pornography and it becomes an addiction, then it takes control of our life and damages us in so many ways. And so that's why God says, no, there's a right way, a good way, a wise way. And it's not the way that the world operates. It's my way. So Paul says, don't be foolish. Don't be dumb. Be wise. Slow down. And really consider God's ways. Not the world's, but God's ways. And here's what I want to suggest. So if we're going to slow down, I think the very first basic question that we want to ask to make wise decisions is this simple question. What's the wise thing to do? What's the wise thing to do? Now, that doesn't answer all of our questions yet, but we're slowing down enough to even ask, God, what, according to you, what's the wise thing to do? We ask ourselves, what's the wise thing? We ask people in our life, what's the wise thing to do in a given situation? And we're now slowing down the process to allow God to begin to work in our lives. We consider his ways, not just going with what our heart feels, because our heart may be misguided. We're not just going to go by the circumstance, because the circumstance may be created and dictated by the values of the world that are contrary to God. We slow the process down and say, God, what's the wise thing to do? But that's not where we stop. Sometimes we don't know the wise thing. We ask the question, and we don't know the wise thing. So that's why we're doing this series. And again, I've said this before, we're going to approach this over several weeks, looking at this from a number of angles. But here's what I want to do. I want us to take a step back and look at the big picture of God's will. Because our concern is, how do I know what God wants? How do I do what God wants? How do I let God inform my decisions? And I want to describe God's will by using this nice little bowl set. I think they call these salad bowls. I don't know, fruit bowls, whatever. Some of them use them for dog dishes, I suppose. There are three bowls and they fit inside each other, okay, which makes them store a little easier. And I want you to think of God's will using these bowls. The first bowl is the biggest bowl. It holds all the other bowls, okay? And think of this in terms of God's will. And this bowl represents God's will, which I describe as God's sovereign will. And by God's sovereign will, I mean that God wants all people everywhere at any time to be saved from their sin so that God can be in relationship with us. That is God's most important desire. That's the will that covers everything else that God's about. He wants to save us from our sin. That's why he sent Jesus. And he wants to save us from our sins so there's no barrier between us and him, so that we can have a real living relationship with the real living God. Why? Because he loves us so much. He wants to have that connection with us. He created us. He created each of us in a unique way. And he wants to have a real relationship. So the thing that pervades everything about who God is and what he does is that he wants, his will is for every single person to decide to follow Jesus, to have the forgiveness of sins through Jesus. And Jesus alone, that's our only way. And with that forgiveness of sin, we can have a relationship. So that's the big bowl. And then there's a bowl that fits inside of it. It's a little bit smaller, but it's significant. And this bowl represents another aspect of God's will. This represents God's universal moral will. Again, God wants this for all people. He wants all people to become holy. That's the summary of God's universal will. There's a lot of details to that. God's universal will is that we speak the truth, that we refrain from lying, for example, that we stay faithful in our marriages if we're married. Those are God's universal will. It's all summarized as holiness. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, meaning from cover to cover in our Bible. And it's summarized as holiness because both God said in the Old Testament and the New Testament, be holy as I am holy. My character, my behaviors are always right. And so learn to be holy as I am holy. We're going to unpack this some more next week. Holiness isn't just my character, isn't just my behavior, but it also has an important meaning of withdrawing or pulling away from the ways of the world so that we truly can follow the example of God, as Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 5. Then that leaves us with this smaller bowl that fits inside all the other bowls. And this bowl represents God's will for us in a unique way, in our unique situation. In other words, we make decisions all the time that aren't addressed directly by these two larger bowls. And so how do we make decisions that are unique to our situation that maybe aren't specifically addressed in God's word? And how do we approach that? And what I want you to understand is that amongst Christians, amongst the church, there's two basic ideas about this one. And I'm going to present both of them to you. I'm going to be up front. One of them I do not believe is biblical, though many Christians believe it. And I understand why they do. We're going to look at that one first. And then we're going to look at what I believe the Bible to actually teach about God's will. And so what we describe this is and this is the view that many Christians hold. I don't think it's accurate, but many Christians hold. They believe that God has a perfect, specific individual will for us. In other words, it's like God has a roadmap that on that roadmap has at least all the major decisions that you need to make, like what kind of career you'll have, where you'll live, who you'll marry if you marry, how many kids you have, whether you'll adopt kids or not, all of those kinds of questions. And the trick with this view is that somehow we've got to find that roadmap and make sure we read it right. Make sure that we follow it exactly as it is, because if we don't follow the roadmap, we're going to really be in a bad place. We're going to end up in a bad place. God won't bless us. We're going to suffer because of it, and we got to get it right in that sense, and there's a lot of pressure to get it right. Again, I don't believe that that's what the Scripture teaches, but that's what many, many Christians believe. Now, let me illustrate this one again. Let me use marriage. I've used marriage already. Let me use it again as an example. In this view that I just shared, the idea is that God has already picked out the person for you to marry. So here I am, I'm wanting to get married, and I see here's Emma and Emily and Elizabeth. All great gals. And my challenge is, with this view, God, which one? Emma? Emily? Elizabeth? And what if I get it wrong? Too bad for me. Too bad for her. You feel the pressure of that kind of decision. And then you take that even deeper. It's not just something as big as marriage, but how far does that go? How many decisions, what kinds of decisions has God actually made? Has he decided what I should wear, or who I should go out to lunch with, or what road to take to work that day? You know, I did a Google search on Google, and Google's always right, you know. Thanks for the laugh. That's good. I'm glad you know it's not that. Google, somebody did this study that says that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day. Now, who has a little counter that counts all those? I don't know. But you think about it, that's not unreasonable, because we make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of decisions just automatically, don't even think about them, because, you know, just by rote. So it's possible 35,000. I don't know the exact number, but here's the point. If we make 35,000 decisions a day, how many of those has God decided? All 35,000? Or if less, how do I know which ones? And so then when you get down that thinking, you go, man, I got to figure out that roadmap. And so how am I going to do that? And so we look for signs, or we just make up signs. I don't know. You know, it goes both ways. You know, God, are you pointing me this direction? Are you pointing me to Emma and not Elizabeth? Or we look for this thing we call opened or closed doors. It sounds really smart. Like, if God opens the door, walk through it. If he closes the door, don't go through it. The problem is, and this is even true in Scripture with examples, sometimes a door is closed, but it's been closed by the evil one. And God wants me to push through it. How do I know when to push through a door or accept that God has closed that door? And this thing gets very, very confusing. And we're wondering, man, how do I really know what God wants? And it becomes very subjective, and we fall into a guessing game. Now, the first two bowls are absolutely clear. God wants every single person to make a decision to follow Jesus, to be saved, to be in relationship. God has made his moral will absolutely clear. You start with the Ten Commandments if you want. He's let us know what a holy life looks like. We don't have to guess that. But this third bowl, this other, for all those other areas where it's not so clear, I believe God has provided a way as well. And this is what we're going to focus on in the rest of this series. I call this third way the way of wisdom. The way of wisdom. And we begin down this path of the way of wisdom by asking that question, what's the wise thing to do? Now, we haven't answered how to figure all that out yet. We're going to do that in the weeks to come. But we start with that question, what's the wise thing to do? God is wise. He's given us wise principles. And he'll guide us in a wise decision if we will simply ask ourselves, ask him, and ask others, what is that wise way to do? I've been using marriage as an example. Let me stay there. A whole number of years ago, a long time ago, I used the way of wisdom to decide who I would marry. I didn't believe that God had chosen the perfect match out there. And if he had, I don't know how I would have figured it out. But I used the way of wisdom. And so as I was considering marriage, I had some basic things that were important to me. One is I wanted to marry a mature follower of Jesus. And here's why. I wanted to marry a mature follower of Jesus because I wanted the person that I married to absolutely depend on their wholeness, their happiness, primarily on God and not me. You know why? Because I knew me. And if they're depending on me for wholeness and happiness, they're going to be sorely disappointed. And that's exactly how our first 4 years played out of marriage. I needed someone that when things got tough, they knew who to go to. And then following that is I wanted to marry somebody who shared some of the core values that I had. And specifically, which follows right along with this, I wanted to marry someone who believed that marriage was till death do us part. That they wouldn't just say the words in a vow, but they really believed this was death until death do us part. Meaning that when the times get difficult, it wasn't looking for an escape, it was how do we fix this? The person saying, how do I fix myself? As well as, of course, then I have to take that responsibility too. What's my part in this? What do I need to fix? That was important to me. And then the third thing was, I wanted to know this person well enough to know that they weren't just fooling me to get married. Yep. When people want to get married, they'll tell you anything you want to know if they really want to get married. I wanted to know that this person was the real deal, that they really were a follower of Jesus in a mature way and committed to marriage that wouldn't end. And then the last thing is, I wanted to marry somebody that all of the people that knew me, and if they knew her as well, they would give their support. And every single one of the people that knew myself and the woman that I married, Jolene, they all said, this is a great decision to make. And so I have experienced God's blessing for 37 years. That's the way of wisdom. So we look for, and then as we discover it, we choose the way of wisdom. And the key question that begins us on this journey is the question, it's the point of my message today, is what's the wise thing to do? We begin just simply by slowing down and asking that question. In light of my past, my unique past experience, what's the wise thing to do? In light of my current experience, my current situation, within me personally and in the circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? In light of my future and my dreams, what's the wise thing to do? So this is the journey we're going to be on in the next few. So if you want to look at this whole idea in a deeper way, maybe you individually, maybe as a family, maybe a life group that's get together. I've got a six-week study that'll be a great tool for you to continue even to do more on your own as we explore this way of wisdom. We have a resource that we give anybody that's a part of Pantano Free. It's called Right Now Media. I forget the number, like 25,000, 50,000. There's tons of incredible videos and teaching on there for kids, every aspect of life in terms of Bible study and marriage and parenting. It's an incredible wealth. That's why we provide it free. All you have to do is go onto our website, go to the Right Now Media page, you see it there, and just simply, if you don't already have it, just request for the code and we'll give that to you and you have access to this incredible library. And one of the tools on there is this six-week study by Andy Stanley called Ask It. Ask It. And in that six-week study, Andy Stanley takes us through, again, these principles of what is this way of wisdom and how do we experience that? And we'll also be doing some of that in here, but that'll be a tool that you can use to continue to grow in this. But I want you to think about these three bowls. Each one represents a decision. This is the most important decision. Will I follow Jesus? Will I experience God's forgiveness just because I've truly asked? And because I believe and trust in God, I can have a relationship with God, our salvation. And if you've not made that decision, this is the most important decision you ever make. And may I urge you to be wise. There's no better decision you'll make. And then there's the decision about God's moral will. And the question for us is, do we trust God to guide us? He's given us clarity. And then will we obey? Will we truly allow him to be the Lord of our life and we're willing to do what he tells us to do? And maybe that's where you're struggling. Maybe there's this particular area of your life where you know you're not obeying the revealed will of God, his moral will. That's where you need to wrestle. Or maybe there's another decision in your life. It's maybe not quite so clear. Maybe it's a decision about a relationship. Maybe it's a financial decision. Maybe it's a decision about your future. And may I urge you as you, and maybe you're facing that right now. Maybe you know that decision's looming. I want you to fix it in your mind, because the beginning of that process to find the way of wisdom is by asking that question. What is the wise thing to do? That's where we start. I'm going to give you some more tools over the next few weeks about how to be able to answer that. But it's got to begin with the question, what's the wise thing to do? We ask ourselves. We ask God. We ask important people in our life, trusted people in our life, what's the wise thing to do? We slow down the decision-making process so that we can make a wise decision. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us right at the very basic level to trust you with all our heart. To trust you and lean on you and not our own wisdom, not our own understanding, not our own experience. Help us to truly trust you. I think, God, as we know the direction that you want us to go, help us to obey. Help us to submit and acknowledge you and follow your way. Slow us down, Lord. Slow us down so that we carefully consider the decisions that we need to make and invite you to be a part of our decision making. Help us to be wise. Help us to choose the way of wisdom and not be foolish. Help us to seek and understand your will so that we can make decisions that honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.